Welcome to another brilliant sport and lifestyle biz here on your Real Feel Good Radio, UK Health Radio. It's already the month of March and the first show that we've offered this month, and we've got a blockbuster. We've got Team GB Olympic gold medal winning swimmer Anna Hopkin talking about her tournaments this year. And even though she's busy, it's an easier year than the congested one from last year. And also our young 14-year-old golfing superstar, Molly Campbell, about her tournaments that she's looking forward to this year and playing through a knee injury, which is clearing up. However, she's got to take care of herself in order to progress to her potential. Throw in our SLB Sports Roundup and we know you're going to love the show. You'll never stop. Well, everyone, back with me today is the brilliant Team GB swimming gold medalist, Anna Hopkin. Hi, Anna, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, no problem. It's an absolute pleasure of mine, and especially the girls, but all the listeners, they love listening to you. You're an Olympic champion, you're a multi-gold medalist, and obviously all colours. So, yeah, it's an absolute pleasure for me. So thank you. Just quickly, before we go on to things, you spent Christmas in Australia. How was that?
Yeah, it was really nice. It's kind of just worked out in terms of having a competition just before Christmas in Australia and then having a training camp that started 1st of Jan. So obviously it's a long flight, so it wasn't really worth going back and forth over Christmas. So it meant that a couple of us stayed out and spent Christmas and New Year in Australia, which was really nice. We kind of travelled around a bit, did Melbourne, Sydney, Sunshine Coast, and then Gold Coast, which is where the camp is. So it's obviously a bit different and a bit weird being away from family, but yeah. Obviously it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so definitely took it.
I was going to say that, obviously, perhaps a little bit weird not spending Christmas with the family, which is what I know you're used to, but a warm Christmas and something you might not experience again.
Exactly, and we kind of did a little family Christmas before I left, did presents and Christmas dinner and everything, so it felt like we had that kind of family time, which was really nice, and obviously FaceTime the family when we were out here on Christmas Day, so obviously different, but still a really nice day.
Lovely, lovely to hear, and I'll just let you know, which you're probably aware of anyway, speaking to your family, that we've got the Christmas weather here at the moment. It's been cold all week. I think it was -5 yesterday.
Oh no, nice being out here knowing it's so horrible back home.
Absolutely, as I say, it is January, and to be fair, we're due it. We had a really good year last year for weather, so we're probably due a little bit of payback.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay. I mean, we have had a bit of rain here today, so it's not all sunshine.
No, people don't want to hear me talking about the weather. Obviously, I want to hear about you and how you've been doing. First of all, if it's okay, I'd like you to reflect on 2022, really, your swimming. You had 3 championships, as we know, and then the Worlds, obviously, you said just before Christmas. You won 7 medals. That's amazing. 1 gold, 3 silver, and 3 bronze. What a brilliant year. Just reflect on it and tell us, you know, how your emotions have been through the year and how you felt that you've achieved.
Yeah, I mean, I think looking back now, obviously 7 medals is a pretty good haul, and would have been nice to get one at the One Course Championship just to get the full set, but obviously there's more opportunities to try and do that. So, but I think overall it was a really successful year. I got a lot of racing, raced some really high quality swimmers, and obviously our relays did really well, got a lot of medals, and I think to end the year with the World Short Course Championships and get an individual medal, obviously that was kind of my aim for the whole year, so it was pretty special to end the year with finally getting an individual medal.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So, you know, as you said, you smashed the summer, you got 6 amazing medals, and you've completed the set almost, apart from that off one you said, but you've completed the set, got your individual medal, so what a fantastic year.
Yeah, I think overall it's been pretty successful, and also not exactly how I wanted it to go, but also we're still a few years out from Paris, so it's a long way to go, and we've learnt a lot from sort of how we went into racing and things we would change, sort of things not going 100% to plan. So I think there's a lot of positives to take away from it.
Brilliant. And just to ask a quick question, were you injury free all year, or were you actually hampered by any injuries at all?
No, I was injury-free, really. I mean, get odd niggles, but yeah, they're always kind of, you know, get on top of them pretty quickly and make sure we're not out of the water for too long. A little bit of illness with COVID and stuff, but I think everyone experienced that. So, yeah, nothing major.
And as you said, as a professional, when you do get a niggle, you just get on with it, don't you? I think your body's trained to sort of just get on with it.
Yeah, and I think you start to realise the signals that your body's sending you when you are like, okay, my shoulder's twinging a little bit. And obviously let the physio know, maybe do a bit less pulling or focus more on kick for a little bit, let it sort of settle down, and then it's never going to get to the point where it becomes a big injury. So I think we're all pretty good at just staying on top of things.
And that's a really good point, Anna, because obviously you're still young and you've got a long career ahead of you, touch wood. It means you mature even more as a swimmer and as a professional athlete. You said that it's important that you go to the physio as soon as you feel something. We always hear about footballers and other athletes, oh, I've played through injury and now I'm out for 8 to 10 weeks. How important is that? Without this being an obvious question, how important is it to address these injuries and niggles as early as you can?
Yeah, it's really important because I guess swimming is obviously different to football. We have a lot of repetitive, like, overuse injuries because we're just doing this movement again and again. So if you're already getting a niggle doing that movement, by just continuing to do that movement again and again, you're just going to make it worse. So then you just put in sort of rehab plans to strengthen the muscles that need strengthening and prevent injuries. Obviously, you can't really avoid doing the swimming stroke. Like, that is obviously what we do every day. So it's just kind of finding ways of realising what the issue is and making sure you strengthen those areas so that you're a bit more robust and it doesn't get into a bigger injury. I mean, we don't really have like high impact injuries like you would get in football, so kind of predict them a little bit more, which means you can get on top of it a bit quicker.
No, that's lovely, and it's a great thing to hear and for the girls to hear, because you know a lot of our girls are in football. We do have a golfer, she's 14, she's a brilliant golfer, she played all last year with a knee injury and she's finally got it straight. But you know, obviously knees are quite important in a golf swing, but it's great to hear that someone who is young but a successful professional athlete, that you've already got that on board. So I mean, that's lovely for them to hear, so thank you for that. That's a really good point. We're going to move on to 2023, talk about bigger competitions perhaps in 2023 and the ISL. But just before you do, Anna, you got an MBE this year, which must have been the most amazing, proud moment for you and your family. Could you just tell us what you felt like when you actually received notification you were going to get that, and then the day with you and your family down receiving the actual award?
Yeah, it was pretty weird. Like, obviously I never expected to be awarded an MBE, and so you obviously get like a letter through that tells you you're going to be added to the Queen's Honours list. So that was, well, exactly a year ago, I guess.
Okay.
It was like 1st of Jan 2022 that I got added to the honours list. So I don't really knew ahead of time that I was going to be. But then because of COVID, there was a lot of backlog of people getting their MBEs, which took quite a while for it to kind of get to my day. Yeah, obviously it was very exciting when we got the invitation to go. It was at Windsor Castle.
Oh, lovely.
So you get the invitation through and you can take three people with you and you all kind of to get all dressed up and go into the castle, and they don't tell you who's going to be presenting you until you're there. So I had Princess Anne, which I think was really nice, with it obviously being for sporting achievements herself having achieved with equestrian, so she kind of knew the situation I was in and asked some really good questions about what my goals were in the future, and it was just nice to kind of speak to her, and obviously a very big honour to get that from her. And yeah, it was really nice to have my family there with me, so it's a very special day and just still quite surreal that I've actually got it.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, you've done amazing things in the pool, so yeah, absolutely brilliant. I presume it's all like hush-hush, is it?
Yeah, well, I think, I remember when I got notified, potentially like a month or so before they put it on the honours list, but then it gets announced on New Year's Day, so then that's public knowledge who's going to get an MBE or OBE or whatever. But then it's obviously takes quite a while for you to actually get your award.
Yeah.
Can't say anything until the honours list.
Oh, no, fabulous, I understand. And I imagine your parents were extremely proud. One of their best days ever, I imagine.
Yeah, I think they were just a bit like, how are we here? What is going on? I think we're all a bit like that, to be honest.
No, it's great. Absolutely brilliant and very well deserved. Thanks, Anna, for talking us through, you know, your reflections on 2022, which was a super year, as we said. Your MBE, which might even now feel a bit surreal. As I said, fully deserved, absolutely brilliant. Just want to move on now to the year we're in, unbelievably, nearly a month through it already, 2023. So the competitions are going to be on you thick and fast. Two competitions of note that I've selected, and if there's anything else, please obviously let us know that we need to look out for. We've got the British Swimming Championships from the 4th to the 9th of April, and then the World Aquatic Championships from the 14th to the 30th of July in Japan. Tell us about your hopes and potential goals for them. I know things can change, and your training leading up to that. How are you going to prepare yourself?
Yeah, so the British Championships are the qualification for the World Championships, so I'm often hoping that I'll qualify for that team. But I guess at the minute we're just kind of preparing for the British Championships, really. Obviously we're on this camp now, so we got another 3 weeks here, and then we've got a couple of competitions. We won't be tapered, just kind of a little bit of race exposure before we taper down for the British Championships, which is obviously when we're expected to swim fast and try and qualify for the world's team.
Yeah.
And then hoping everything goes well there and I qualify, there's like team camps and competitions before the World Championships, and obviously we kind of ramp up the training again before we taper down for the World Championships. So quite a lot going on, but it's just a bit more spread out than last year, just gives us a bit more time to breathe, I guess.
Yeah, because last year was an insane year, wasn't it, because of COVID?
Yeah, just so many competitions that all got pushed into 1 year, but I guess it prepares you well for a slightly easy year.
Yeah, and big competitions as well, you know. It wasn't just like swim meets, was it? You know, it was three big long course ones and then the short course.
Yeah, pretty unheard of, really.
Yeah, so we've got a sensible year, we'll call it, this year, and then obviously all building up to Paris 24. If I could just ask you about your training, a couple of questions have been asked by the girls, actually, of different sports. You might not be able to answer this, it might be slightly different, but say, obviously, as you said, you've got to swim your fastest at the British Swimming Championships to start off with. How many races in training do you have leading up to that? And does that then drop off a couple of weeks before and it's just training to keep the conditioning going?
Yeah, I mean, we don't really do like races in training. It's more like the portions of a race. It might be like the first 50, or it might be multiple back end 50s, or sets that kind of push you beyond where you would be in a race, so that when it comes to the race your body's prepared for it. I think we've got two competitions before British Champs, which is when we'll do a proper race.
Okay.
And then in like the 2 weeks leading up to British Champs, that's when you kind of start doing, we call them like race simulations. You might do a broken 100, which means you do the first 50 and then you might take like 10 seconds rest and then you do the second 50.
Got it.
But some people might like to do a whole race in the lead up, but I just find that if the time's bad, it just kind of messes with you a bit, with your confidence. And sometimes just having those broken up, it just builds you up a bit more, gives you a bit more confidence.
That's a really interesting take on it. I mean, in a totally different form of a sport and totally different thing on the body, I was told by a runner when training for a marathon never to do more than 20 miles before the marathon, because you don't want to leave the marathon in practice. Now, I know obviously yours is different because it's shorter, but it's still as intense on the body, really, with muscles that you're using. I like the fact you say you do a broken 100, so it's almost putting races together in blocks, as it were.
Yeah, pretty much, and just allows you to focus on smaller parts of the race.
Yeah.
See, when it comes to race day, you're kind of ready to put it all together.
That's great to hear. And obviously, as you said, you've got the British Championships in April, which is your qualification. You never want to say you know, but I believe that you would make it. What events are you looking to go at the World Championships? Say everything goes brilliantly in April, would it still be across the board 50 and 100 and then all the relays?
Yeah, so hopefully 50 and the 100, and then it just depends on the relays who's quicker on the day and who they put in the finals and stuff. But there'll definitely be a lot of relays going on. So for the medley relay, where there's only one freestyler, it's basically, if the 100 free individual at Worlds is day one and I go fastest or someone else goes fastest, they'll put the fastest person on the relay.
So the medley, they put the informed person, as it were.
Yeah, like obviously British Champs gives a gauge, but if someone else is faster, then they're not going to not put them on.
That's not going to happen, Anna. No, that's not going to happen. No, so again, fingers crossed, it could be a nice medal haul again in 2023, despite there being less competitions.
Yeah, hopefully. I'd love to get a medal at the World Championships. That's kind of the one championship I've not got a medal at.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be quite a big goal, I guess.
That would be nice. And obviously that's in Japan, so you go there. You know, I don't know how long you'll go to Paris for, but obviously Japan's a fair distance in it, so you go there, you settle in. You almost bond as a group, if that makes sense, even more.
We have to go probably a good 10 days before we start racing, just to get over jet lag and stuff. So, yeah. But we'll have, like, team competitions beforehand where we kind of all come together as a team. And I mean, we all know each other quite well anyway, but obviously there's new people on the team that you can get to know.
No, fabulous. And just a couple of things on your swimming. When we spoke last year, you were saying that your 100, you were getting stronger in the back end of your 100. Is that still something that you're progressing on and you're feeling more confident doing the 100 now?
Yeah, I've always got the front end speed there, so the back end is always something that I just need to work on. Yeah, I mean, training's going really well, so hopefully that kind of will reflect when I'm racing. But yeah, I think it's going well.
Oh, fabulous. And the ISL, obviously, you were saying last year how important it was. Swimming with the world's top swimmers all the time and against them. Any ISL plans this year? And is that still the case? You're feeling that that's helping you come along as well?
I'm not sure. There's all sorts of legal stuff going on with ISL, so I'm not sure what's happening with it, to be honest. I think it was great, like, when it went on. I think it just needs to be organised better by a better organisation, and hopefully they can kind of get that figured out and it will get to go ahead again. But I don't think it'll probably go ahead the next 2 years.
Okay. But the concept is good. You feel that it helps bring along you as an athlete?
Yeah, I think the concept's great. I think it just needs a bit more organisation and backing behind it. I mean, hopefully, you know, I think everyone would love to do it again, but it's just hoping the right kind of people come along that can run it in that way. Just needs a bit more traction, really.
Yeah, it sounds good, though, and it sounds beneficial. I suppose what it does do, if there isn't anyone for the next 2 years, even though you don't get that constant swimming, it just lets you build a plan, doesn't it, backwards from 2024 in Paris through the World Championships in 23.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be tough to fit ISL in as well this year and next anyway, so it might potentially work for the best. Post-Olympics might be a year that people kind of want to have a bit of fun and do ISL and do a bit of competing and stuff. So yeah, we'll see in the future if it goes on again, but yeah, hopefully.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for that, Anna, because obviously it's something that you experienced again and something that you were happy with. And as you said, it might work out for the best anyway. So we're going to track you through whenever you're free. I know you're very busy. Track you through the year. See how you get on, talk to you before and after your swim meets and your competitions. Keep supporting you as always. And at the moment, I just want to say the very best of luck for all your swimming. I know you're going to go and win medals. I hope you get that World Champs medal, as you said, to complete the set. And if it's not this year, it will be the next one, I'm sure of it. Anna, thank you so much for your time today. The other side of the world, enjoy Australia. And I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, and good luck to you and all the girls for whatever they're doing.
Brilliant. Thank you, Anna.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Love and laugh. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Kiss me quick. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Back with us again this week is good friend of the show and golfing star Molly Campbell. Hi, Molly.
Hi, John. How are you?
Well, thank you. Yourself?
I'm all right, thank you.
Excellent. Well, we're catching up with you after a day at school, so I appreciate you doing this for us. Just want to chat to you really about your golf and how things have transpired
since COVID, what you've been working on, and just then to give us a little bit of an idea about when you go on to your new tour, what it does for you and your hopes for the future, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Excellent. Thanks, Molly. So we'll start with the current and the recent past. I know because of COVID and then you getting COVID and then being injured playing football, which is rather bizarre because you're a golfer, you haven't actually played any full rounds or into any tournaments recently, but I understand you've been out there on the course making a couple of minor adjustments to your game. If you could tell us what you're doing, what you're hoping to achieve.
Well, at the minute I'm working on trying to do like a separation in my swing, because what I'm finding is like I'm having a lot of push shots out to the right, and the push shots out to the right can be when the hands take over, and basically I try to save it because my brain knows what I've done wrong, and like I end up pushing it out. Basically, the separation basically helps with body rotation and make sure that the club head doesn't overtake the body and the hands.
Right, okay, so for the people like me and the people that just play at golf, if that was a way of putting it, basically you can feel, you say, your hands coming through and you're trying to correct it, but it results in you pushing the ball out to one side. So what does a separation in swing mean, and what does it do to your end result?
So basically the separation is, so your hands go back in your back swing, and I've got a really, really long swing.
Right,
so
yeah.
So naturally, as I get older, I'm going to be less flexible and it is going to shorten. But the issue is, because like my arms are like getting stronger, they're like at the minute with like my previous swing that I was on, it's all one motion.
Right.
So it makes it a lot harder to tell the difference between the body rotation and the arm rotation.
Okay.
So with the arms going back, it pretty much just leaves a bit more time for the arms to go fully back, but then make sure your hips rotate before your arms are even starting your downswing.
Right. So very, very technical. The fact you know all about it is great in twofold. It means obviously you know what you're trying to do.
Because it's been embedded in my brain for the past couple of weeks.
Yeah. It's a good thing though, because obviously you were amazing in 2019. You haven't had much chance in 2020. 2021 was a write-off as well. So the fact is, you know, it's a mentality obviously from your dad, the fact that you're never resting on what you've achieved. You're always striving for better.
Yeah.
So separation in swing, again, to people like myself and people that mess about with golf, isn't literally a separation in swing where you almost stop halfway through. It's just the different movements of your body at different times.
Yeah, it's just allowing that extra split second of time for your body to rotate fully.
Yeah.
And it's basically the separation is just like the technical word of saying it, but it's basically just a different sequence in the body.
Excellent. That's really well explained. Thank you. And what is your end goal for that? Does that just mean once you've got this nailed, you should be able to hit the ball straighter, or does it give you extra distance as well?
It's giving me more distance, and also what it's like, it's almost guaranteeing me more like precision, especially with my driver. Because yeah, like as you get stronger, and like for example, Bryson DeChambeau, like, yeah, because he hits it miles, when yeah, he hits a miss, it goes very far miss.
Yes.
So it's mainly about trying to get that precision. So, like, say if I do have a miss, that, like, it brings it, say, instead of being in the trees, to just being on the edge of the rough as a miss.
Right, okay. You've brought into the conversation Bryson DeChambeau, who is a bit of a Marmite golfer. You either like him or you don't like him. His way of playing is, I don't care if I hit it in the rough because I'm a flick away from the green. Do you actually see that taking off? Is that something you've turned around to your coach and said, why are you getting me to hit the ball straight? If I could just hit it as far as I can, I'm closer to the green.
No, because, like, one, I can't hit it anywhere as close to Bryson DeChambeau.
No.
And two, because, like, for me, I'd much rather be 50 yards further back, for example, and know that I've hit an amazing shot,
yeah,
then being like way off in the trees, knowing that I've hit the shot thin and it's gone off wide, but I'm still 50 yeah, yards in front. That's not my mentality. Like, I try to just, like, if I'm on the fairway, then I know I can work with that.
No, that's good. You want to play it like a student of the game, really, of course management.
Yeah.
No, that's excellent. That's really good to hear. And something going back to changing your swing and that, you said you had a very long swing, which I know. And I refer back when I talk to people about you as well, that when I went round with you, probably 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, which I kind of where the time's gone, but you hit about four bad shots in the whole round, but they were the four shots you remembered. This new precision, is that again going to just move your game forward?
Yeah, because like the thing is though, this, like, it could take a whole year, and like, to be honest, it could wipe out another season for me. But the thing is though, it's better off me doing it now whilst my body's still growing, so it's naturally embedded in my swing, than having to force it in whilst I'm fully grown.
Absolutely, and it's something we pass on to the girls at football, is the fact you're not going to be a professional at 13, 14, 15. This is the time to practice in the week and then take that to the match at the weekend. And if you fail, if you don't take risks, you're never going to improve.
Exactly.
It's lovely to see you doing that, and I know you're like that, because as long as I've known you, you've always been the same, and I think that's why you're so good, because you take risks, and you're not happy to fail, but you're willing to fail to improve your game.
Yeah, because, like, the main factor is I know, even though, like, sometimes it can really confuse me at first to understand it, but because I know in great depth, my coach and my dad explain it to me in probably the most mechanical way possible they can to me, so I understand every little thing that I'm doing. Because for me, a lot of the times, like, I ask why, because my brain, like, the way it functions, I have to know why I'm doing something.
Yeah. And that's totally understandable, and that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. Just again, referring to the football, we do sessions on a Monday and a Friday with 30 to 40 girls, but on Sundays I generally coach four or six.
Yeah.
And what it allows me to do is stop the play halfway through and explain where they went wrong, or if they look at me as if wanting to kill me because I'm asking them to use their weaker foot, I explain to them as why. And you're right, sometimes that extra explanation goes a lot longer than just telling you to do it.
Yeah.
Brilliant. That's really, really good. You mentioned that your body has changed, and as you get older, your swing will shorten because you're less flexible. But I also know you're going through a growth spurt. How's that affected you, both mentally and physically?
Honestly, I'm really annoyed. Because the fact is, I'll go for like, at least once a month, I'm having a massive growth spurt where I'm growing like at least a couple of centimetres. And it's honestly really annoying. Because, say, I'm going through one at the minute, in the next couple of weeks, it'll stop, and then I'll get back into the swing.
Yeah.
Week after, I'll be growing again. Has to do it all over again.
Yeah,
so, it's really annoying.
So it's a trying time for you. I suppose every time you grow, you have to slightly tweak your swing or what your stance. Yeah, so it is. Again, but at least it's better to get it done now, which is a good thing. But all in all, everything's going well in your preparation to getting back out onto the course.
Yeah.
And do you have an idea of when you're going to get back out into tournaments and competitions?
Over the next couple of months or so, the end of March,
yeah,
it should be when it really starts to kick off.
Brilliant. So not too long now.
No, to be honest, it feels like I've blinked. It felt like December when I blinked last time.
Molly, you're right. It's absolutely phenomenal. I remember you being over 12, I think, when you started last year. So you got it down to 6-ish. I mean, I think you might have even been higher than that. And to get it down to 3.1, it is just brilliant. And what you say about it being harder is absolutely correct. Again, for me, my experience with coaching is in football. And you see more progression in girls that have either just started or haven't had high-level coaching when they come to you, because there's just more room for improvement, as it were. So, I mean, the fact you've got it down to 3.1 anyway is an absolute phenomenal job. But the fact you've done it, still with your knee problems, the fact you've been changing your swing, you know, and I know what you're like, your changes, you try and take them to the course. It's not like you forget about them. So, yeah, that's a phenomenal job, Molly. Well done. Absolutely brilliant on that.
Thank you.
No problem at all. So, yeah, again, you've had a few wins this year. What's a couple of the most notable wins you've had this year?
Well, this year I haven't really gone anywhere. Like, I haven't been to Scotland, I haven't been to Ireland. I've just been playing in, like, loads of things this year. Like, a couple of Junior Opens that I love to play in. Wellingborough Junior Open, there was Nuneaton Junior Open, Worksop as well. They're, like, my three personal favourite Junior Opens I like to play in. And they're really nice to try and support. And then just mainly really club competitions as well, because obviously with my knee and with all these big swing changes, it's not really worthwhile going elsewhere, because you look at like all these multiple England Golf Day events,
yeah,
and all the accommodation, the fuel at the minute, like all like the hospitality, everything like that, it all adds up. And to then be sort of investing in that almost whilst I'm only really on one knee,
yeah,
and also whilst I'm in Big Swing Change, we didn't really see the worth in it, and we just thought, once we'll drive hard this winter and we'll be ready for next season when we can really push at them.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, it's understandable, Molly. I mean, the fact that you've won at all with changing your swing is fabulous. Again, you know, it just shows you your talent, your drive, your confidence. It's just amazing. Now, I remember the Junior Open I come to see you in. It was such a terrible day for weather. I think I remember your dad saying if it had been like a proper event, they would have cancelled it because the wind was so high. What a great day that was for me. I mean, I think on the first hole, you put your second shot to about 3 foot. Just shake your mind in disbelief. So, yeah, I mean, the fact you're changing your swing and everything like that is just amazing. Absolutely brilliant. Great. So a couple of final things, because I know you've got a busy schedule today, so appreciate your time. I noticed that you won the Junior Player of the Year at your course. Tell us about that and, you know, what an achievement and how that feels to win an award like that at such a notable course.
Yeah, it's pretty nice because I've been at Beeston for probably like 9 years now, which is, yeah, pretty much my whole time playing golf. And I've pretty much grown up around that. I know everybody, everybody knows me. I'm going to be honest, it's not the best course out there.
No.
But it's nice to be almost loyal to it. And it's nice to see the light, almost little things coming back sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it goes a long way. Loyalty like that is reducing throughout the world year on year. I know you and your dad are like that anyway, but it's nice to see. How is that voted? Is that voted by the committee, by your peers? Who votes for that?
I think it's our junior organised. It's on our accumulation of things because we have most improved golfer of the year,
yeah,
and we have player of the year. So improvements more for sort of the younger kids, where we look at like,
yeah,
what they're doing in training sessions, all that sort of thing, and then player of the year is actually like percentage and handicap.
Yes.
So I think I came down in 62%, I think it was, and they normally go up high percentage, you come down, that's what normally,
yeah,
player of the year is.
Okay. Fabulous. Again, yeah, you're right. I mean, 3.1, I mean, makes next year incredibly hard, doesn't it? You'd be looking at like 1.5, won't you, really? I know you're probably looking for scratch, but, you know, 1.5 is 50%. So, yeah, so moving on about that, you know, a nice link to move on to next year. Have you got any plans or any wishes or any goals for 2023?
Well, 2023, probably, I think we're going to try and explore these different competitions because I've never really been in any of them before. I've never been in a multiple day England golf sort of thing. There's loads of Yorkshire girls stuff that I want to go into, and then there's Scottish girls as well I want to look at.
Yeah.
So it's just really exploring what's out there and just seeing what we can. I know there's a couple of under 21 events that I want to try, which will be a really nice experience because,
yeah,
realistically it's going to be tough. But it'll be really important, I think, beneficial for me to play in them.
Yeah. Well, you've never been one to stay in your comfort zone, Molly. That's all credit to you and your dad. But I only think that's of benefit to you. It's amazing, you know, what you do. And we're all for that with the football. But it's great that you're always pushing yourself. Just one final topic, Molly, before I let you go, sorry. Obviously, you were selected for the regional under-18 England squad, which I think we discussed last time, being 13 years old, which is, again, an amazing achievement. Is that something that you can be a part of? Are you going to be going to events with that next year?
Well, being part of the England regional squad, it's like more of a training sort of thing. So you get,
okay,
coached and you get kind of almost a person. Like we have Hannah, for example, who's a professional. She's really lovely. So she comes along. She's been through the squad and like she kind of gives us like pep talks, is another word of putting it.
Yeah.
So it's really nice because all the girls are lovely and it's nice to have something you can relate to almost, because golf is a very lonely sport, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's no team in it. You can play for county and stuff, but at the end of the day, like, when you're out there, it's you and whoever you're playing against. You can have all your coach and stuff, but when you're on the course, you're on your own, really.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have almost like a team, another way of putting it. I think we have a couple of matches where we play against North Region and South Region.
Yeah.
So we play against different regional teams, and then that's mainly just our coach will come and assess us. in competitions, that sort of thing. So this season for them runs until the end of August.
Okay.
And in September, then we have to go and reapply. And if you get back in again, it's the same sort of thing. But when I turn 16, 16 will be my final year, which is obviously GCSE year. But then they have a programme called DICE, which is an A-level. And you can do your school A-level alongside it. But it's basically, it's two A-levels, so your theory and your practical. So that's a two-year programme, which is offered to you when you're 17 and 18, obviously.
Yeah.
And then that's pretty much what you've done with the squad. But if you then pass that with a higher grade, then you're guaranteed a spot at Loughborough University, which is really good.
Fabulous. No, I mean, it's great, and it's lovely that you're already looking into these sort of opportunities, you know, and setting your goals. And nothing better, really, than to be given advice and encouragement from somebody who's been there and done it and been through the whole system.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, Molly, it's come to the end of today. I just want to say that it's always a pleasure. It's always lovely to catch up with you. Thank you very much. I hope you had a great Christmas. Have a great New Year, and we'll catch up in the next week.
And you, John. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Molly. Take care.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory. E bargo.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We finish off this week's show with our SLB Sports Roundup featuring golf, horse racing, cricket, darts, boxing, rugby, motorsport, NBA and football. We start with golf. The PGA Tour hosted the Honda Classic from the PGA National Members Club in Florida. It was won in a playoff by Chris Kirk at the first playoff hole. He finished on minus 14 alongside Eric Cole with two shots further back to Tyler Duncan. This week, it's the Arnold Palmer Invitational from the Bay Hill Golf Course in Florida. The DP World Tour hosted the Hero Indian Open from the DLF Golf and Country Club in Delhi, and it was won by Marcel CM, who produced a great final round to finish on minus 14, beating Yannick Paul second for the second week in a row on minus 13, and Hugh Sleeton back in third on minus 12. The tour now has a week off and they're back on March the 9th with the Kenya Open from the Mutsikaiga golf course in Nairobi. The LPGA hosted the Honda LPGA Thailand Open from the Siam Country Club using the Pattaya Old Course. It was won by Lilia Vu, pipped last week by Lydia Ko. She produced a storming final round to finish on minus 22 from Nasa Krita Vankatavlap on minus 21 and Ataya Titikal on minus 20. This week it's the HSBC Women's Champions Tournament from the Sentosa Golf Course using the Tangjong Course in Singapore. Horse racing. Three big races from last weekend. The Coral Trophy at Kempton saw our selection, Our Power, trained by Sam Thomas, ridden by Sam Twiston Davis, bring home the money. A great price as well. Good selection for us. And the Ida Chase at Newcastle, well, we went one better. We gave two selections. They finished first and second. Kitty's Light bringing home the money. Trained by Christian Williams, ridden by Jack Tudor. The Galloping Bear finishing second. Trained by Ben Clark and ridden by Ben Jones. The Saudi Cup, the $10 million race, was won by outsider Panther Lisa, a Japanese horse ridden by Yutaka Yoshida. Now it's the countdown to Cheltenham, which starts on the 15th of March, and we're going to give you four horses this week and four horses next week. Two for Wednesday and two for
Tuesday, coming today. Champion Hurdle, we like Constitution Hill and the National Hunt Chase, Galliard de Mesnil. And on the Wednesday, the Champion Chase, where we think Energumene will come back to form and win that. And then Delta Work in the Cross Country Chase. Cricket, England on the verge of the last day of their two-match series with New Zealand. It's the second test. England are 1-0 up and they need 256 runs to win with 9 wickets remaining to take the second test and the series 2-0. It's a remarkable test. England were way ahead of the game, put New Zealand into follow-on and New Zealand batted brilliantly. Left England a target of 256 and they're 48 for 1 with 1 day to go. Darts, the Premier League Week 4 was held in Dublin and it was a return to winning ways for Michael van Gerwen, who beat Gerwen Price 6-5 in a brilliant final. Michael van Gerwen takes 5 points through, Gerwen Price 3. The two beaten semi-finalists who both take 2 each, Michael Smith and Johnny Clayton. The table after 4 weeks is Michael van Gerwen top of the tree on 10 points, Michael Smith second on 9 points, Gerwen Price third on 8 points, with Nathan Aspinall sneaking into the top 4 on 7. Week 5 is at Exeter. Boxing, and I call it the clown match. Perhaps it was a bit better than that. Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury happened last weekend in Saudi Arabia, with Tommy Fury taking the win on a split decision despite being knocked down in the 8th and final round. Looks like a rematch is on the cards with the YouTuber against the Love Island man. Rugby, Six Nations Week 3. Results. Italy 20, Ireland 34. Wales 10, England 20. France 32, Scotland 21. The top four in the table as follows. Ireland are first on 15 points. Then we have a group of three teams on 10. Scotland, England and France. On to motorsport. NASCAR had the Auto Club 400 from the Auto Club Speedway. It was won by that man, Kyle Busch, rejuvenated by a move from Toyota to Chevy. He drives the Chevy Camaro for Richard Childress Racing. Chase Elliott, second Chevy Camaro of Hendrix Motorsport. Third, Ross Chastain making it a 1-2-3 for the Chevy Camaro, but this time for Truckhouse Racing. This week it's the Pennzoil 400 presented by Jiffy Lube from the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. IndyCar, this week is the first race of the season with the Firestone Grand Prix around the streets of St. Petersburg. Look out for our three regular favourites, Joseph Newgarden, Pato O'Ward and Alex Palou. However, you can't discount current champion Will Power and other veteran Scott Dixon. Formula E held the South African E-Prix from Cape Town and it was won by Antonio Felix da Costa for the Tag Heuer Porsche team. Second, Jean-Eric Verne for Team Penske. Third place, Nick Cassidy for Envision Racing. Pole position was Sasha Fernandez from Nissan team. Fastest lap, Jean-Eric Verne. And driver of the day was the race winner, Antonio Felix da Costa. That leaves the standings after 5 rounds. Pascal Wehrlein in front for Tag Heuer Porsche on 80 points. Second place, Jake Dennis. Avalanche Andretti, 62. Third place, Jean-Eric Verne for Team Penske, 50 points. They're back on the 25th of March with the Brazilian E-Prix from Sao Paulo. That's round 6. Formula 1 is back. The first race of the season this weekend, the Bahrain Grand Prix from the Bahrain International Circuit. Last week had 3 days of testing at that circuit and Red Bull way out in front. Max Verstappen leading the way, Sergio Perez closing up. The Ferraris look strong. Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz. Whereas Mercedes looked better than this time last year, but still look to be a fair amount of time behind the Red Bulls and the Ferraris. Lewis Hamilton and George Russell doing their best to try and close the gap. If not for this weekend, through the season. Look out though for a wild card. Fernando Alonso has replaced the retiring Sebastian Vettel in Aston Martin and they looked quick, especially on the long Grand Prix runs. And I think they could have a really good year with Aston Martin developing in the sport and with a legend of Fernando Alonso behind the wheel. On to two wheels and MotoGP are having testing. They start their season on the 26th of March with the Grand Prix of Portugal from the circuit in Algarve. World Superbikes had round one last weekend, the Australian round from Phillip Island. Race one was won by Alvaro Bautista through the Ducati Aruba IT team. Second place, Jonathan Ray for the Kawasaki team. Third place, Toprak Ratsakioglu for Team Yamaha. Alvaro Bautista also took the Super Pole race and his teammate Marco Ruben Rinaldi, riding the Ducati Aruba IT team machine as well, took second. Toprak was third and his Yamaha. Race two was won by, again, Alvaro Bautista doing the treble. Second place, his teammate again, Marco Ruben Rinaldi, finished off a great weekend for the Ducati Aruba IT team. And Toprak got knocked off by Alex Lowes of Kawasaki, but his teammate Andrea Locatelli produced a really good ride to finish third for Team Yamaha. Alvaro obviously leads the way with a maximum 62 points from 62. Andrea Locatelli had a good supporting races. He's in second place for Team Yamaha on 34. And Marco Ruben Rinaldi and Jonathan Rea share third place on 31 points. They're back this week with a Moto Indonesian round from the Mandalika International Circuit. British Superbikes don't start their season till the 7th of April when round one is at Silverstone. And Speedway is a bit later, the 29th of April, with the Croatian GP from Donji Kranjevic. Both are getting ready for testing. On to NBA and some results. After the matches resumed following the NBA All-Star weekend, Pacers 138, Celtics 142, Cavaliers 109, Nuggets 115, Raptors 115, Pelicans 110, 76ers 110, Grizzlies 105, Mavericks 142, Spurs 116, Kings 133, Trailblazers 116, Lakers 124, Golden State Warriors 111, Wizards 109, Knicks 115, Hawks 136, Cavaliers 119, Bucks 128, Heat 99, Bulls 131, Nets 87, Suns 124, Thunder 115, Warriors 116, Rockets 101, Clippers 175, Kings 176. That match shed 351 points in the most unbelievable game. And I bet anyone would put money down if someone scored 175 points, they would win the match easily. But to lose by 1 point, what a game. Knicks 128, Pelicans 106, Grizzlies 112, Nuggets 94, 76ers 107, Celtics 110, Bucks 104, Suns 101, Hawks 129, Nets 127, Mavericks 108, Lakers 111, Cavaliers 118, Raptors 93, Thunder 115, Kings 124, Warriors 109, Timberwolves 104, Nuggets 134, Clippers, 124. The top 10 in the East and West conferences, where the top 6 places go straight to the playoffs, and 7 to 10 battle it out in the play-ins for the two of them to join the top 6 in the playoffs. Celtics lead the way in the East on 44 and 17. Bucks are second on 43 and 17. 76ers, 39 and 20. Cavaliers are fourth, 39 and 25. Nets are fifth, 34 and 26. And the Knicks round out the top six, 35 and 27. Seventh is the Heat, 32 and 29. Eighth is the Hawks, 31 and 30. Raptors are ninth, 30 and 32. And the Wizards are in 10th place, 28 and 32. Over in the West is a little bit more straightforward for the leaders. The Nuggets are clear on 43 and 19. Grizzlies are second on 36 and 23. Kings 35 and 35. Suns 33 and 29. Clippers 33 and 30. Mavericks round up the top six, 32 and 30. Golden State Warriors 7th, 31 and 30. Jazz 31 and 31. Timberwolves 31 and 32. And Pelicans are 10th on 30 and 31. Just a note, the Lakers are now only a game behind 10th. Looks like their trade worked out well, and I think they could make the top 10. Upcoming fixtures: 76ers versus the Heat, Knicks versus the Celtics, Nets versus the Bucks, Grizzlies versus the Lakers, Thunders versus the Kings, Rockets versus the Nuggets, Clippers versus the Timberwolves, Pistons versus the Suns, Knicks versus the Nets, Celtics versus the Cavaliers, Bucks versus the Magic, Thunder versus the Lakers, Mavericks versus the 76ers, Warriors versus the Clippers, Celtics versus the Nets, Heat versus the Knicks, Bulls versus the Suns, Warriors versus the Pelicans, Kings versus the Clippers, Lakers versus the Timberwolves, Cavaliers versus the Pistons, Bucks versus 76ers, Mavericks versus the Suns, Lakers versus the Warriors, Nets versus the Hornets, Wizards versus the Bucks, and Celtics versus the Knicks. We finish off with football and the Premier League. Match day 25 results. Fulham 1, Wolves 1, Everton 0, Aston Villa 2, Leicester 0, Arsenal 1, West Ham 4, Nottingham Forest 0, Leeds 1, Southampton 1, Bournemouth 1, Manchester City 4, Crystal Palace 0, Liverpool 0, and Tottenham 2, Chelsea 0. That leaves the top 4 in the Premier League as follows. Arsenal still lead the way, played 24, 57 points. Manchester City played 25, 55 points. Manchester United played 24, 49 points. And Tottenham are 4th, played 25, 45 points. A couple of catch-up fixtures during the week. Arsenal versus Everton and Liverpool versus Wolves. Match day 26. Manchester City versus Newcastle, Chelsea versus Leeds, Arsenal versus Bournemouth, Aston Villa versus Crystal Palace, Brighton versus West Ham, Wolves versus Tottenham, Southampton versus Leicester, Nottingham Forest versus Everton, Liverpool versus Manchester United, Brentford versus Fulham. And a note that Manchester United are playing West Ham on Wednesday in the FA Cup. The Carabao Cup finals held last weekend and an opportunity for two big clubs to get back on the trophy winning map. And it was Manchester United who took out Newcastle to win 2-0 with goals from Casemiro and a deflected Marcus Rashford shot into his own goal by Sven Botman. 2-0, it was a great game. Both teams played well, but Manchester United did deserve it. And it's the first trophy after only 6 to 7 months for Erik ten Hag and his new team. The Champions League saw two British clubs in action last week. Liverpool losing 5-2 at home to Real Madrid and Manchester City drawing 1-1 at RB Leipzig. And also Manchester United had their second leg in the Europa League, qualifying for the round of 16 against Barcelona. Potentially the two best teams left in the competition drew each other out the hat. Going into the second leg, it was 2-2 and Manchester United come from 1-0 down to meet Barcelona 2-1 and knock out the Spanish Giants 4-3 on aggregate. The WSL is back this week and the fixtures are Manchester United versus Leicester, Everton versus Aston Villa, Manchester City versus Tottenham, Reading versus West Ham, Arsenal versus Liverpool and Chelsea versus Brighton. The league sees Manchester United out in front, played 13 with 32 points, Chelsea just 1 point behind on 31 but with a game in hand, and Manchester City a third, played 13, 29 points. That's our SLB Sports Roundup. And it's the end of another brilliant show. I want to say thank you to you, the listeners, who always encourage us to bring you the great content that we do. Thank you to our two young British superstars, Anna Hocking from Team GB and Molly Campbell from the World of Golf. And to Johan, Rafaela and the whole team from UK Health Radio who give us this amazing platform. We'll see you all next week.
Sonic man out of you. Yeah. Stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.